Hello, welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about tiny homes. Do they stack up as a good investment? And we just keep getting asked about tiny homes, Andrew. And as I always say, oh, we've recently done something about tiny homes. That was episode 580. About 3 years ago, we talked about tiny homes. And the reason people are kind of interested in them is they're associated with a cheaper lifestyle. They're cheaper than a house. You know, rents are so high these days. People say, oh, maybe I should just buy a tiny home. Like, what does the numbers look like on that? Well, let's start with, like, what is a tiny home? And it's a bit of a loose definition, I suppose. It's usually a house on wheels. Yeah. Often quite a big house. But, you know, it's on top of a trailer. You can transport it. Sometimes it looks like it clearly is a trailer. Sometimes it's transportable, but might look like it is just a house there. But generally speaking, it's a transportable house. It's on wheels. Often can be quite big and nice. But sometimes people use the word tiny homes to mean just a legal minor dwelling. That's not what we're talking about. We're specifically talking about something that is transportable.
Is there any size definition for them?
I haven't seen any technical definition.
How big do you think one is?
I'd say something that's about 40 square metres.
No, I don't think so.
Bigger than that?
I thought smaller than that. I thought like 30. Maybe I'm just completely wrong.
Maybe we're both wrong. The great news is, just for anybody who's listened to the show for a while, recently we've hired a journalist to just research for the Property Academy podcast called Priscilla, and she's given me all my weekends back. Next time I'll ask Priscilla to find that out for us.
Great.
So if we're talking about a tiny home, which is technically transportable house, typically got wheels, what does one cost?
So there's a tiny home provider called HouseMe, and they reckon that the average cost of a brand new tiny home is about $130,000. And compare that to the national average property price of, $930,000, you can absolutely see where people think, I'll just get a tiny home.
Okay. So if we think about tiny houses, let's think about like how much deposit do you need? And the important thing to remember is tiny homes are vehicles. They're not houses, right? So most banks are not going to lend for a tiny house. But somebody like Squirrel Money or Squirrel Mortgages, you might know them as, they've got a specific loan type for tiny homes. And the interesting thing is you might not need any deposit at all depending on how expensive the tiny house is. So if you go to Squirrel and you want to borrow, $70,000 or less, you don't actually need a deposit at all. If you want to borrow more than that, they need a 5% deposit. And what's really interesting about them is they won't lend you any more than $100,000 for it. So in that case, if you wanted to go to HouseMe and spend $130,000 to buy a tiny home, you'd actually need a $30,000 deposit and Squirrel would lend you up to $100,000 for that. But, depending if you're buying a second home tiny house, then you might need no deposit at all or very, very little deposit, right?
Yeah. And remember, this is assuming that you've got nothing else that you're securing the lending against. So if you have a piece of land with no debt on it, there's a good chance that Squirrel might be able to get you a bank loan against the land. So you're talking about this is essentially an unsecured loan. It's kind of like a car loan, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting a loan for a car or a boat or whatever. They're going to structure it at amount of $70,000 or up to $100,000. But at $70,000 with zero deposit, it's a pretty good way of entering the market.
Yeah, and then we were specifically talking to Squirrel about, okay, what does your average loan look like?
Yeah, so they reckon that the average loan that they do is between $70,000 and $80,000. So again, if you've got a $70,000 tiny home that you're buying secondhand, then awesome, you might not need any deposit at all. If you are getting higher than that, so you're the $80,000 bracket or going up to $100,000, you're probably going to need to get a 5% deposit. But 5% deposit on an $80,000 purchase is only $4,000. It's nothing.
Yeah. And just bear in mind as well, this is just to buy the home. We're not thinking about, where are you going to put this home now? Because you're not going to put it in the park. You're not going to put it on the side of the road. You actually got to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
But let's say I take out an $80,000 loan. Is it cheaper than renting? So let's say I'm a first home buyer. I'm thinking, can't rustle up a 10% or a 20% deposit. I'm going to buy a tiny home instead. What do the numbers look like? Well, Squirrel will let you take out a loan for up to 7 years. So usually on a house, maximum 30 years for the tiny home, 7 years. Now the interest rates are somewhere between 10 to 13.5%, depending on how good your credit is and how high your income is. But that would mean that if you buy the average tidy home, you're talking about a weekly repayment of about $305 to $340 a week, which is pretty sharp. It is much cheaper than renting.
Yeah, but you do have to remember you've got to put it somewhere as well. Like you said before, you're not going to put it in the park or in the car park down on Sumner Beach. So you've got to probably factor in some ground rent. Now, remember we had some of my investors on the show.
From Queenstown, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And they were renting. I think they'd done a deal with the landowner and they weren't paying a lot, but you might pay $100 a week.
I think they were paying $200 a week.
Do you reckon it was?
I'm pretty sure that's what I remember.
Okay, so a couple of $100 a week goes to the landowner. That will cover their mortgage on the land if they've got one. And so you're probably, you know, you're still probably going to end up with a little bit cheaper than rent. But again, you're living in a tiny home at that stage.
Yeah, so I think what's important to just think about though, so if you think, yeah, but then I get to own this house. So maybe that makes you feel quite good about it, but you are going to have to find somebody's land. And talking to Squirrel and some of these tidy home companies or companies that deal in this space, often we're talking about people renting land off friends and family.
Yes.
So maybe you've got a friend, maybe you've got a family member who owns a piece of land. They're not going to get any rent off it. So you say, I'm going to buy a tiny home, I'll park it on there, and I'll actually give you some income.
And, you know, I've got some investors who they've got a bare site at the moment that they plan on building a batch on way later on in life. But they've bought land. I think they actually inherited it from her mum. Now, they've put a tiny home on it so that they can go and stay there and make sure that they're happy at that site before they go and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on it. But Ed, we've been talking a lot about Squirrel. Now, they do a maximum of $100,000 for a tiny home. And HouseMe, if you want to buy one of theirs, the average home is $130,000. So how does that work?
Well, you'll either need a bigger deposit or you buy secondhand, as we said, you know, so it's a cheaper price. Or you might go to another lender. So I know U Finance, which is literally the letter U and then finance, they're a bit more expensive. So 15.9% to up to 18%, but they'll lend you more. And you can pay off the loan up to 10 years. And then there's also Oxford Finance. So there are a couple of different lenders you might also go to. Squirrel aren't the only people in the market. They're probably just one of the more well-known. That's why we're talking about them. Now, big question though is, okay, if I buy a house, it's probably going to go up in value over time. But if I buy a tiny home, I don't own any land and it's a bit like a car. So if I buy it, does it hold its value?
Yeah, the short answer is no. Now, according to Squirrel, who provide finance for tiny homes, they think, anecdotally, rather than hard data, that you immediately lose 30% of the value once you drive it off the lot, same as a car, right? So you'd buy a brand new one, it's now worth less money because it's secondhand. Now, I think there's part of the fact that it, you know, it isn't a house, somewhere you can live, but it's not a house, and there's no land attached to them, that you're always going to have this. And like a car, there's never going to be zero value in it, but I would expect it would depreciate over time rather than increase like when you buy a property.
Yeah, so don't expect that if you buy a tiny home, it's going to go up in value by 7% a year.
No.
Like the average
house. Well, it depends where you drive it to.
Well, no, because then you need to own the land. Okay, they might not go up in value, but let's say I buy one and I'm like, okay, I'm going to live in it for a while. And maybe the value might go down a bit if we buy a new one, but are they easy to sell?
Well, there is an active secondhand market on Trade Me, so it is saleable. And Ed, actually, can you bring up Trade Me for me? Because I haven't looked at this myself.
Yeah, Googling tiny homes. Well, that's a nice one.
It's really nice. Oh. But it's $165,000.
Well, I know it's $165,000, but it's a tiny home. Average property in New Zealand, as you said, $930,000.
That's pretty nice.
Oh, that's quite nice. Oh, it's got an upstairs, downstairs. Oh, I love it.
It looks quite big. That must be some
tidy home.
Look at the size of it, please.
Well, what size? Yeah, I am looking at the size.
No, you're not. You look at pictures.
How do I see the size? What's it say?
So, interestingly, this actually has a builder's warranty. Doesn't say.
Doesn't say. The funny thing is, you can't actually see the wheels on it, can you?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, they've got a platform and some steps leading up to the house. And around it, they've put plants. So it's disguising the fact that it is a portable home. Yeah, quite a nifty idea.
You see that quite a bit as well. I've seen some tiny homes advertised where they build decks out so that you can't actually see that, oh yeah, this actually is an official tiny home that you could drive around a bit. But you do see a lot of the pricing, just as we're scrolling through Trade Me, especially the new ones, are well over 100K. Yeah. Maybe some of these other ones that are secondhand, you're kind of getting down to that kind of 60K-ish for the cheapest one, but they're not totally pretty. I suppose in that case.
What's the size in that one?
That's getting to 70K.
Suitable for up to five people. that's not even enough for a bathroom for me.
Doesn't say how big it is.
Interesting how they obviously leave off the size for a lot of people, because that would probably put a lot of people off reading a size that's relatively small. But if you go and see one of these, I'm sure they use space wisely.
Okay, so Andrew, come away from the Trade Me listings and the property shopping. Other than the people we've talked about previously in Queenstown, who do you think's buying a tiny home?
I do think that there is probably a market for some of these people who maybe don't have kids. Well, I'm sure don't have kids, and have decided they just want to live a bit more of a simple life. So certainly that was the general tone of that investor that we had on the show. They just wanted to downsize their current house and invest their money, and they really enjoyed that tiny home's lifestyle, less clutter. I've probably got more clutter in my garage than you can fit in one of these units, right? So probably those type of people, or people that want to travel a bit more with their time. So, you know, they've got a bit of land, or they've got an investment property that where there might be some land at the back that they can put a tiny home that can be their base, but then they do a bit more overseas travel.
It'd be interesting as well to look at maybe some investors out there. If there are some investors out there who have a piece of land and you've put tiny homes on it and you're renting them out, please come on for Case Study Sunday. Get in touch with us, because it would be so fascinating to talk through the numbers. One thing I'd be interested in is the healthy home standards as well. It's like, because you still need to have a heat pump in there. The windows probably wouldn't be an issue, but, you know, how do you make your tiny home healthy homes compliant?
I reckon you might be able to do it. Can you do it with one of those wall panel heaters at that stage? I thought you could.
You could use it as a top up. But the question is, you know, this is a vehicle and we're renting it out. How's that work with the Residential Tenancies Act?
I bet people are flying below the radar. If you plonked one of those in Queenstown, you rent out like that.
You definitely rent it out. People would want to. But I just want to know legally how it'd work. Yes. It'd be interesting to dive into that detail. Maybe there's a property manager out there listening to the show who rents out tiny homes. That might be interesting as well. If you do want to go down this angle, you know, what are some of the additional costs you guys are going to have to think about, though? You're going to have to think about connecting to infrastructure like power, water, sewage. And depending on whether the land is owned and you own the land, as Andrew said before, there could be some ground rent. I'd be thinking about insurance. You know, what sort of insurance do you need for this? Probably not going to get house insurance. It's going to be some sort of vehicle insurance, isn't it? And then a transport costs to get it there from the manufacturer, maybe some maintenance costs. And I think you just want to make sure as well, when you're thinking about bare land to park this on, it's going to need to be flanked, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to be parking this on a hill.
You can put one down in the lower part of my section. You'll slide off the hill into Lena's house.
And I remember a couple of years ago when we last talked about tiny homes, there were some issues with council.
You claim that, okay, well, it's a movable property, so it's a vehicle, it's kind of a trailer, you don't need building consent. Now, I think that councils might disagree and call it an unconsented dwelling on your property, and that probably has some complications around insurance, I don't know. And having a read of some of the planners and surveyors online, some of the councils do technically require a consent. So you might find that it's a bit more complicated depending on where in the country you're living.
And just to be really clear, we're not claiming to be experts in tiny homes. No. It's just we get questions about it. So we've dug into the details, asked some people about it. Now, getting down to the real nitty gritty, let's say that's it. I am going to come live on your land. I'm going to buy myself a tiny home. I'm going to apply for finance. Well, what do I need to do?
Well, it's not like a normal sale and purchase agreement where you buy a house and you go get a valuation and do all these things. Again, this is kind of, it's almost like an unsecured loan. So it's going to be a bit more straightforward in terms of what you have to provide the lender, but it probably is going to take longer because they're going to scrutinize your affordability a whole lot more.
Yeah, it can take a couple of weeks to get that approved. And so if we just think about the pros and cons, the pros of tiny homes, going to be cheap to buy, probably cheaper than renting, depending on how much you're paying for the land. Some people really like that small lifestyle. People who are maybe not as materialistic and are saying, actually, I want that really minimalist lifestyle. I don't want to have as much stuff. I just want to focus on the important things. But the downsides are you need to find some land. You may need consent. The tiny home itself is unlikely to go up in value, and it's going to be quite hard to refinance as well, right? So if you get a tiny home loan from Squirrel, you're probably not going to be refinancing that across to ASB, ANZ, Westpac, some of the major banks. They don't lend against tiny homes. So there are a limited range of lenders. But for some people, could be a winner. And again, if somebody out there is investing in tiny homes, please come on the show. It would be so interesting to hear how it actually is working for you and some of these unanswered questions that Andrew and I have. And hey, if you guys want to learn more about property, come along to our upcoming webinar. It's on Tuesday the 16th of April, 7 p.m. It's all about all of the new tax rules, and there's a whole heap of them. It's not just interest deductibility and Brightline. There is also the Airbnb tax coming up. So if you want to come along, link's down in the show notes, so tap or swipe over the cover art, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back here tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.